What are the questions which arise most frequently in the mind of Christians? I suspect that in many cases it will be something to do with prayer. I've got a major problem in my life. I keep praying, but it's still unresolved. Lord, I keep reading about so many promises in the Bible, and I'm asking myself, is my experience matching up with what I read? Am I really connecting with you, God, when I turn to prayer? I wonder if you feel some of these things sometimes. One of the things that concerns me a lot is that I find myself, when I'm praying, slipping into well-known phrases, clichés, and I wonder really if I'm grasping the meaning of these words. Lord, would you bless so-and-so, bless that person, bless that man? He needs your blessing in the job that he's doing. Lord, will you bring healing to this person? Will you touch that person with your healing hand? These words are so easy to say, aren't they? And I just wonder sometimes, have I really grasped what I'm saying? Have I grasped what I'm praying? Am I really feeling this? Am I really connecting with God? Well, prayer is at the very heart of a Christian's life, isn't it? But how many of us struggle to pray effectively? When we feel we should have a time of prayer, we immediately think of other things to do, or we don't feel in the mood, or God seems to be far away. Maybe something quite devastating has paralyzed us spiritually. It so dominates our mind that we feel we can't think of anything else. It could be that we need to give more thought to an essential ingredient of prayer, praying in the Spirit. Just look at Paul's instruction, Ephesians chapter 6. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray in the Spirit. Well, isn't prayer just speaking with God? What's the fuss? Well, of course it is. But all prayer is not necessarily in the Spirit. Otherwise, Paul would not have given us this instruction. And if you read the letter of Jude, he says the same thing. So what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? And how do you do it? To answer these questions, we got to remind ourselves, first of all, of the reason for the Spirit's presence and work in our hearts. Let's just read a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they're discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things. But such a person is not subject to merely human judgments, for who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Wow, what a statement. I'd like to give particular attention to verse 14. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them, because they're discerned only through the Spirit. The first thing that we need to be absolutely certain about is that if we believe in Jesus, if we've come to him in repentance and faith, then there's no way this could have happened without the Spirit working this miracle in our hearts. We may explain the gospel to one man, and he will say, that's just foolishness. Explain it to another in exactly the same words, and he'll be convicted. He'll repent and come to Christ, and he will declare, this is the power of God. That's exactly what Paul tells us in that verse we looked at a little earlier. To some, it's foolishness. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Foolishness or the power of God? What makes the difference? Same words are used to speak to these people, but one says, that's foolishness. Another says, this is the power of God, and his life is turned round by it. What's the difference? It's not intellect, it's not experience, not age. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we may say, well, why is the Spirit working this in one man and not the other? Remember when Jesus explained to Nicodemus the need to be born of the Spirit, he added, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. We need to keep on reminding ourselves of this presence of the Spirit and the spiritual discernment that he gives us. It starts with an understanding of the cross, which we've just been thinking about. But faith is more than just believing that one statement. It's actually living in the truth of that statement and all its implications in every situation we meet with in life. And that's an awesome truth. It means that as we meet with the situations of everyday life, we see them with the discernment only the Spirit can give. Lord, I'm in a real bind in my relationship with this guy. Why have you brought him into my life? What's the answer to it? Lord, I'm facing a major crisis in my work, in my family life. How do I handle it? And expect to receive the discernment in that situation that only the Spirit can give. If we feel that we're not really living in that daily experience, we need to keep on recalling Jesus' words. I am with you always to the end of the age. I will never leave you or forsake you. On that day, looking forward to the coming of the Holy Spirit, on that day, you will know that I am in the Father. You are in me, and I am in you. These are very profound words, and we need to keep on pondering them. Hear Jesus speaking those words into the very depths of our being, in the most dire situations, until we experience the reality of them, actually living in the knowledge of the Spirit's presence and the discernment that he gives. Let's never underestimate the importance of this. Just getting alone to be still and know that we're in the presence of Jesus, that he's right there beside us. That's a very precious moment when we can experience that. If we're able to do this early in the day, it's then easier to live in the presence throughout the rest of the day, even when we're feeling hassled and depressed and defeated, maybe. Once we're in the habit of sensing the presence of the Holy Spirit with us, life can never be the same again. When we try to sense the presence, we may feel it's hopeless because we've got so many distracting thoughts. When we are turning our minds to God for a time of prayer, we suddenly remember we've got, I've got some shopping to do. I've got a visit to make. Let's not be frustrated when that happens. Be thankful. Thank you, brain, for bringing those things to mind. They're very important. But just now, I want to turn my mind to God, and I want your help in focusing my mind on God. Return again to sensing the presence of the Spirit. But the Spirit isn't just present within us, not just present, giving us discernment in everyday things. He actively leads us. The more we are able to sense the presence, the more we're able to follow the leading in the areas that need guidance. Remember, Jesus, after the Spirit descended on him like a dove at his baptism, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. The leading follows the presence of the Spirit. Paul tells us that Christians have their minds controlled by the Spirit. If we can grasp this and really experience it, it's then no exaggeration to say that we have the mind of Christ. Wow, what a statement. Paul was continually expecting the Spirit not only to be with him and speak to him, but to guide him, be actually leading him in guidance. As we look at the situations facing us in life with a spiritual discernment given by the Spirit, we need to expect to sense his leading. Lord, that guy that I'm finding difficult, are you expecting me to change my attitude towards him? Are you expecting me to repent, to even apologize? We've got to be ready for the Spirit to tell us some pretty tough things. And we need to keep in step with the Spirit. It's not enough just to have the Spirit's discernment. We've got to follow his leading. And that means being obedient to all his promptings. Remember in Galatians 5, Paul talks about the battle that's going on in our minds between what the Spirit is telling us and what our sinful nature wants us to do. This is what he says. He says, "So walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you do not do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." The Spirit speaks to us, gives us discernment, and he leads us. And we have to follow that leading, keeping in step with the Spirit. Well, it's not surprising, is it, with all this in mind, that we will find that the Spirit is active at the very heart of our prayer life. Paul tells us that in all kinds of prayer, we are to pray in the Spirit. There are many kinds of prayer, lots of different sorts of prayer. There's quick arrow prayers. Remember, like Peter, when he thought he was drowning, he said, "Lord, save me!" No time for much preparation for that. It was just an arrow prayer. And then there's regular prayers that we often repeat. Things like the Lord's Prayer, or saying word of thanks before meals. Does familiarity sometimes make it harder to sense the presence of the Spirit? And lots of other prayers we use using well-known phrases. Sometimes, particularly when we're alone, we may feel the closeness of God's presence, and that's very precious. It's times like that that may lead us to prayer in words that we don't really understand. When a person experiences this, Paul says he utters mysteries with his spirit. This has been a controversial matter, I know. And it's only one of the gifts of the Spirit. And the scripture tells us that the Spirit distributes these gifts to each one just as he determines. Paul values them all highly. They're all there in the scripture, and we should give them all careful thought. And then there's meditative prayer, when we take a verse and just think around it until we feel we have taken its meaning into our inner being. The scripture was written by men moved by the Spirit. And as we read it, let's remind ourselves that the author of these words is there beside us. The author really is the Holy Spirit, and he's there. Whatever kind of prayer we're engaged in, there's lots of different kinds, it must be in the Spirit. But really, what does this mean? It's not necessarily an ecstatic or mystical experience. Most often it's a very down-to-earth situation and practical. Many of you, I know, will have read the story of George Muller. I think we had a DVD about his life a few years ago here in chapel. And he showed how just bringing discernment to bear on everyday practical matters, we're still praying in the Spirit. I can perhaps remind you of a story, perhaps it's one of the most often quoted stories of George Muller. You may have heard it before, you probably have, but it's worth repeating. You may remember he opened a number of children's homes in the Bristol area. And one of his principles right at the beginning of his work was to never appeal for funds to anyone. If they needed money, they would simply bring this matter before God. And they lived day by day like that. And one morning the children came down to breakfast. They're all sitting there at the table, hungry children, waiting for their breakfast. And they hadn't got any food. So George Muller sat them all down and he said, let's pray, let's give thanks for what God is about to give us. He prayed a prayer of thanks. There was a knock on the door, and the baker was there with a whole load of loaves. A little bit later, the milkman arrived, saying his van had broken down outside, or his cart had broken down outside, and he had to get rid of all this milk. The children got fed. There was another occasion when he was crossing the Atlantic. He had an important meeting to go to in Quebec. And the fog descended on the ship, and the captain had to slow the ship down. And George Muller realized that if the ship carried on like this, he would miss his meeting. And the captain said, there's no way you're going to make your meeting. And Muller said this. He said, I've known my Lord for 50 years. He's never failed to give me an audience with the King. You will find the fog gone. They went up on the bridge. Fog had gone. Ship speeded up. He made his meeting. Now, I know when you read staggering answers to prayer like this, spectacular answers to prayer like this, it gives you a sort of yearning in your heart, doesn't it? For why can't things like this happen to us? Well, I remember hearing of a missionary who was home on furlough once, and he gave a talk to his church explaining all the wonderful things that had been going on in the mission field, the wonderful answers to prayer he had had. And at the end of his talk, a member of the church said to him, "Look, why is it that you get these wonderful answers to prayer where you are in your work, and we don't see them here?" And he says, "Well, I'll let you into a secret." He says, "I cheat. I just look around to see what God is doing, and I join in." Well, that's really just a rather humorous way of saying he's keeping in step with the Spirit. And this is all part of praying in the Spirit, understanding the discernment that he gives, and then following his leading. Jesus said, "Watch and pray." At the end of that verse we read right at the beginning of Paul about praying in the Spirit, he said, "Be alert." Watching and being alert is as important as praying. Having prayed about something, we need to watch to see how God is answering and giving us the discernment that we need. And yet there's another activity of the Spirit which we need to understand. Scripture tells us that he is already interceding for us. That problem we face, the Spirit has it in hand, he's interceding. God has a plan for our lives, and the Spirit's prayer releases what God has already planned to do. What an encouragement it would be if we felt so in tune with the Spirit that we could sense his prayer and ourselves praying alongside. There's so much to learn here. I expect most of us feel as I do, that I've hardly begun in these things. I'm just scratching at the surface. You know, when you read the last book of the Bible, right at the beginning of it, John says, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." And then he received those those amazing visions described in the book of Revelation. Well, you may say he was a very special person, wasn't he? And those visions were very special just to him. We can't deduce too much from that, can we? But he speaks as if being in the Spirit was well understood, a common experience. The revelation, of course, was unique to John, but the experience of being in the Spirit seemed to be something that would be readily understood by his hearers. He didn't need to explain it any further. If we persevere in practicing the awareness of the Spirit's presence, the spiritual perception that he gives and the leading that he gives, and keeping in step with the promptings that we sense, we will begin to understand what it is to be praying in the Spirit. The things which may hold us back, not only is the Spirit active here, but so is the devil. He will make us frightened of the commitment that may be involved in drawing close to Jesus. And he will encourage a feeling of unworthiness. Do you remember how Peter was frightened of coming close to Jesus? "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man," he said. Remember the Lord's reply, though. He said, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I'm going to make something of you, Peter. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You're going to be an evangelist, big time. 3,000 people are going to get converted after your first sermon. You're going to be the first pastor in my church. You're going to feed my sheep." The man who felt that he couldn't even approach Jesus had this big future ahead of him. Our sin our sense of unworthiness can be dealt with. It mustn't hold us back. Sometimes we can be held back by some situation in our lives that seems so overwhelming that our minds won't function in prayer mode. I expect most of us have felt that at some point or other. That just may be God giving us the opportunity to understand what it means to cast all our care on Him. That's what we need on such occasions. That's all part of praying in the Spirit. The Spirit helps us to do that casting. I was reading one of the bit of the MF literature recently about a man involved in the tremendous earthquake that was in Papua New Guinea a month or two back, devastated by the effect of that earthquake. And this is what he says. He says, "I just don't know what God is doing. Has God abandoned us? Our houses are broken, our gardens are destroyed. We're just crying about all this, and we don't understand." Sometimes we can meet with situations like that, can't we, which are so overwhelming, we just don't know where to go from there. How would we feel? I put myself in that position. Suppose we had an earthquake and my house was devastated and I'd lost everything. How would I feel? It may just be God giving us the opportunity to begin to understand what it is to cast all our care on Him. The Spirit helps us to do the casting. Isaac Newton was one of the most famous scientists of the 17th century. Some people think he was a famous scientist of all time. Yeah, I think I'm probably in that category. When he established his laws of motion, it completely revolutionized the way that scientists look at the world, and they're still using exactly what he said to work out the motions of the planets and eclipses and things. And Newton received a lot of public acclaim for his amazing discoveries. But just listen what he said. He said, "I do not know what I may appear to the world, but to myself, I seem to have been only like a boy playing on the seashore and diverting myself in now and then finding a smoother pebble or a prettier shell than ordinary. Whilst the great ocean of truth lay all undiscovered before me." The more we try to understand what the New Testament teaches about prayer, the greater our awareness of how much more God has to teach us. There's an ocean of truth out there to be experienced by us. We need to launch into it. Let us pray. Lord, we are humbled by all that we read in your word about what can be experienced in prayer. Lord, will you help us to understand what it is to pray in the Spirit, to be aware of his presence moment by moment every day, to understand the discernment that he gives us in every situation that we meet. And Lord, help us to see and understand the promptings that he gives us so that we may indeed keep in step with the Spirit. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.